Well, this morning I actually intended on starting a new series, but if you weren't here last week, I was in a lot of pain. I was in bed a lot this week with my back. It hurt to sit. I could lay down, and so a lot of my work was laying on my back, working on my computer, trying to catch up from being gone on vacation, and so I a little bit behind. And not quite ready to kick things off for our series. And so in the midst of that, though, I was kind of like, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to talk about? And as I was in the middle of my week laying there on my bed doing my Bible reading, I found myself in 1 Corinthians 13. And in the midst of reading that, I thought, man, this is just a scripture I'm sure people have preached on 50 million times. And thinking, this isn't really what you want me to preach on, is it, Lord? But in the midst of walking through that, I felt like that was the direction that I was supposed to go this week. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you don't know what that is, that's the chapter on love, right? It talks about love. And you can kind of hold that spot. That's going to be our main scripture this morning. But before we get to that, I just wanted to share a few things. As I was studying Corinthians 13, I came across a story about an actor that was playing the part of Christ in this passion play in the Ozarks. And so I want to share what transpired for you this morning. It says this: as he carried the cross up the hill, a tourist began heckling him, making fun of him, and shouting insults at him. Finally, the actor had taken all he could take, so he threw down the cross, walked over to the tourist, and knocked him out. After the play was over, the director told him, "I know the guy was being a jerk, but I can't condone you knocking people out. Besides, you're playing the part of Jesus, and Jesus never retaliated, so I can't have you responding like that again." The man apologized and promised he wouldn't. "I'm sorry." But the next day, the heckler was back, worse than before. And once again, the actor exploded and knocked him out. The director said, "That's it. I'm sorry, I have to fire you. We just can't have you behaving this way while playing the part of Jesus." The actor then begged. He said, "Please, just give me one more chance. I really need this job. And I promise, I can handle it if it happens again." So the director decided to show grace and give him one last shot. The next day, he was carrying his cross up the street, and sure enough, the heckler was there again. You could tell that the actor was doing everything he could to control himself. He was clenching his fist, grinding his teeth, and finally he looked up at the heckler and said, "After I'm resurrected, you're dead." I love that story. I couldn't help but laugh when I read that story. "After I'm resurrected, you're dead." Here's the thing. I share that because the reality is, sometimes it's hard for us as Christians to behave the way Christians should behave, right? We try to carry our crosses, but if someone hurts us, right, or someone treats us unfairly or crosses us, we tend to lose our composure at times and behave oftentimes in the same way people of the world would behave. But the Bible teaches us that we're to behave differently. The Bible teaches us that we're to be people who exercise love, right? Who walk in love. Let me share a few scriptures with you. I'm going to put them up on the screen this morning and share them with you. It says this, the first one, Romans 12:18. It says, "If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." Now, it's saying there, if it's possible, there's some times where people won't allow that. But as far as you're concerned, to the best of your ability, live at peace with everyone. Ephesians 4:2 says, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love." Obviously, the guy from the Passion play didn't quite read that one, I guess. Hebrews 12:14 then says, "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy." Now, all of these scriptures, the reason I share them with you is they basically say the same thing. You see, it may be difficult and not everybody will be easy to love, but we are to love everyone and do our best to live in peace and harmony with all people. You see, love is the key to the Christian life, and we're going to see that from our scripture that we're going to read this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can open them up and read along with me as we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 this morning. I want to start real quick at the very top of 13. If your Bible is set up this way, you'll see that the end of 12 kind of ends, and then there's a little section of 12 left right before you start chapter 13. And this is what it says. It says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way." And then Paul goes on to share it, verse 1. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." Now, like I said, Paul starts off the scripture saying, "Now I will show you the most excellent way." And what he's saying here is, I want to show you the best way to take care of virtually every situation that you come across in life. And then he begins to point out in these verses that we just read that love is the key to all things. He points out that love is more important than many things that we as Christians consider to be pretty important, right? And so this morning what I want to do is I want to look at five things that Paul says love is more important than. Five things that he points out in these three scriptures. The first one is this. First, Paul tells us that love is more important than spiritual gifts. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Now, Paul is referring to the day of Pentecost here, and talking of speaking in tongues and other languages. He's referring to the day of Pentecost when the very first gospel sermon was ever preached by Peter. And on that day, God gave the apostles this special gift of being able to speak in languages that they had never even learned. Could you imagine how amazing just to be able to all of a sudden speak in a language that you hadn't learned? You know, I wish I could just at times, you know, especially when I hear people speak another language, like, man, I wish I could knew what they were saying, right? You know, but they were given this spiritual gift so that people hearing them could understand what was being said so they could hear the gospel. Now, there are many different spiritual gifts that the Lord gives us. And each of them are given for a specific reason. And maybe someday we'll walk through those spiritual gifts. But you see, in verse 1, Paul is saying, these spiritual gifts mean nothing if we don't have love. He says they're nothing more than a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, what does he mean by that? What's he referring to here? Well, back in the first century, there was a big gong or a cymbal that would hang at the entrance of most pagan temples, okay? And when people would come to worship, they would hit this gong to awaken these pagan gods, all right? So what Paul is saying here is he's saying if we don't have love, our spiritual gifts are as useless as those gongs used to awaken gods that don't even exist. Those gongs, they don't awaken anything because these gods don't exist. Our spiritual gifts are nothing if we don't first have love. Now, I hope that all of us are people who desire to seek the spiritual gifts that God has for us. Because there are many great gifts that God gives that help us and benefit us in our walk, in our relationship with the Lord. But before we go seeking those gifts, we first need to just seek the love of Jesus. We need to seek to be people who learn to walk in His love. And I believe this, if we learn to walk in His loves, in His love, His gift will become, His gifts, or gift at times, will become more and more evident in our lives. So Paul first tells us love is more important than spiritual gifts. Secondly, he tells us love is more important than knowledge. He says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, but have not love, I am nothing. You see, you can be the smartest person in the world. You can have all the knowledge known to mankind. But without love, what do you really have? You really have nothing. Now, it's interesting because oftentimes when people look at our society and they try to analyze what's wrong with our world today, you know, why are people killing and abusing one another? Why do we see so much violence and destruction in our world today? It's funny because oftentimes those experts seem to believe that it's a lack of education. If we just educated people better, then we wouldn't have these problems anymore. But here's the thing. I don't think education is the answer unless we're educating them about the love of Jesus. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8:1. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Now, I'm not saying we don't need education. I'm not saying education isn't good. But I don't think it's just about knowledge. I think what we need in this world isn't more knowledge. What we need in this world is more love. It's our hearts. It's the hearts of people that need to change. We can know all there is to know about the Bible, right? We can know all there is to know about being a Christian. But if we're not living out the most important thing, all that knowledge is for naught. It's love that's going to help the problems of this world, and that's why Paul tells us that love is more important than knowledge. Thirdly, Paul tells us that love is more important than faith. Whoa. He says, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Now, I do want you to realize something here. He doesn't say faith isn't important, okay? Don't get wrong here, right? He just says that love is more important than faith. And this is a pretty powerful statement here because we're actually told in Hebrews 11. So for him to say this, it's pretty powerful, right? Because in Hebrews 11 it says, it is impossible to please God without faith, okay? And I'm hoping that all of us here this morning that we do have faith, right? But what is our faith? What do we believe? Do we believe that God is the creator of this universe, the creator of this world? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is His only begotten Son? Do we believe that Jesus came into this world and lived a sinless life? Do we believe that He died and was buried and on the third day was resurrected, that He rose again? Do we believe that He's now with the Father and is preparing a place for us to one day soon come back, the soon and coming King? Do we believe that while He's gone, He's given us the Holy Spirit as our guide and as our counselor? You see, if we believe these things, that's awesome because that is the Christian faith. But Paul's telling us, if you believe all these things, yet you don't have love, then your beliefs really mean absolutely nothing. Because not even faith has value unless it's backed up by love, by God's love. Jesus points this out to us in a story that many of us know from our Sunday school days. The story of the Good Samaritan. You remember that story? The priest and the Levite in the story of this Good Samaritan, they obviously had faith, right? It's a priest, and the Levites were the people, you know, that ran the church. They're the spiritual leaders. They had faith, but the problem was what? The problem wasn't their faith. The problem was they lacked love. They walked right by this dying man, leaving him there on the side of the road to die. Galatians 5:6, Paul says this, "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's why Paul tells us love is more important than faith. What good is our faith if we don't have God's love? Fourthly, Paul tells us love is more important than generosity. He says, "If I give all I possess to the poor, but have not love, I gain nothing." You see, if I give everything, if I empty my checking account, all right, and my savings account, if I give all my retirement funds, if I sell my house, right, if I cash in my insurance policies, if I sit on the corner with nothing left but what I'm wearing and give everything away to help the poor, but I don't have love, then I'm nothing. You see, it's not just about giving. Yes, I think we're called to be generous givers. Our church, Dallas Four Square Church, this last year has been a generous giver. But it's not about what we give or how we give. It's about why. Why we give. Why is it that we give? Do we give because we just heard a sermon on stewardship? Oh, great, I better give. Do we give because we feel guilty that if we don't give, oh man, what's God's watching me? I better put some money in the plate, you know? Do we give because we want to impress others? Hey, check out what I just gave. Do we give because we're afraid God will do something to us if we don't give? Do we give because we think, well, we'll get more if we give, right? We've heard that, the prosperity preaching, you know? None of these are reasons of why we should give. The only reason we give is to receive benefit for ourselves, to make ourselves feel good. Then that means love is absent from our giving, and our giving is empty. You see, our motive for giving should always be love. Love for God and love for others. You see, that's the mission statement of our church. And that's why we give. Because we love God and we love people and we give to see others come to know and experience His love. We love our community. That's why we continue to give money to our community. It's based upon love. And if we ever are giving out of anything beyond what's based off love, then we're giving for the wrong reasons. Love is more important than generosity. And then finally, Paul tells us that love is more important than our lives. He says, "If I surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." Now what he's talking about here is he's talking about being a martyr, right? He's talking about being so faithful and so committed to God that you end up dying because of your faith. Causes us to ask the question, how deep is our faith? How deep is our commitment to the Lord? Are we willing to lay down our life for God if that's what it came to? What Paul is basically saying is that even if we go to church regularly, even if we read our Bible faithfully, if we pray and if we do all the things that a Christian person should do, even give up our life for God, it won't mean anything if it's not done in love. I know a lot of people out there on the street corner trying to tell you how you should live your life for Christ, and they're pointing at you saying you're going to burn in hell, you're going to die if you don't, you know, where's the love? in their mind, they're sacrificing, they're giving everything for the Lord. But it means nothing without love. Through these scriptures, Paul has told us love is more important than spiritual gifts. It's more important than knowledge. It's more important than faith. It's more important than generosity, and more important even than our own lives. And it's because he wants us to realize that love is bigger than most people even realize. You see, when it comes to our relationship with Jesus, it's one of the most important things that we need to know and need to understand as Christians. The reality is, the call to love, it's actually a command. Did you know that? It's not just like, well, yeah, I think you should love people. It's actually a command. We're commanded to love. Listen to John 13:34. Let me read it to you. It says, a new commandment I give you. It doesn't say a new thought, a new idea, a new thing that I think would be cool. It says, no, and this is Jesus speaking, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. Oftentimes we think that love is something that just happens to us, right? We fall in love just like we fall off the stage. We fall into love just like we fall into a ditch. We fall out of love just like we fall off the stage, right? It's almost like we can't help it, like it's something that just happens to us. And a lot of times we think, well, love is just emotion. I can't control it. But the Bible teaches us that love is something that we can control. And God commands us to love one another, which means we have the will. We have the will. We have the ability to love others. Because God says he wouldn't ask us or tell us to do something that we can't or are incapable of doing, right? We have the will to love others. Now, what kind of love are we talking about here? Well, it's the same kind of love that Jesus showed us, a love that puts others first. Philippians 2:4 says, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. You see, the kind of love that Jesus desires from us is a love that always, always puts others first. Can you imagine how different our world would be if everyone who called themselves Christians truly loved others in this way? If they truly believed that love was the most excellent way, right? That's how Paul said, this is the most excellent way. If we truly believe that, if we truly believe that love was more important than any of these other things, if we did that, I believe the world we live in would be a different place, wouldn't it? You see, if we want to be people who truly make a difference in our world, then we need to learn to love first. Isn't that what Jesus did? When you look at Jesus, when you look at him on this earth, he didn't come and point fingers. He didn't point out all the failures of every person he came across. He simply loved them right where they were at. He had love and compassion for people, even those who persecuted him, even those who hurt him. I want to finish this morning with a story about a missionary named Doug Nichols. I found this story, I did a little research. Doug Nichols, he served for in 1966 he went over to India to be a missionary. And this story is around that time, but he served 40-50 years as missionaries in India and the Philippines, and just from what I read, just a great man of God seeking to love people. But I want to read this story that I came across when he first started out. This is what it says. While I was just starting to study the language, and this is in India, I became infected with tuberculosis and had to be put in a sanitarium. It was not a very good place to be. It was not very clean, and the conditions were difficult because there were so many sick people there. But I decided to do the best I could considering the circumstances. So I took a bunch of my Christian books and tracts and tried to witness to other patients in the sanitarium. But when I tried to pass out tracts, I was rejected. No one would take them. I tried to hand out books, but no one again would take them. I tried to witness, but I was handicapped because of my inability to communicate in their language, and I felt so discouraged. Because of my illness, I would be there a long time, and it seemed like the work that I had been sent to do was failing because no one would listen to me. Because of my tuberculosis, every night at about 2 o'clock, I would wake up with chronic coughing that wouldn't stop. Then one night when I awoke, I noticed across the aisle an old man trying to get out of bed. The man would roll himself into a ball and teeter back and forth, trying to get the momentum to stand onto his feet. But he just couldn't do it. He was too weak. After several attempts, the old man gave up and laid back down, just weeping. The next morning, I realized why the man was weeping. He was trying to get up to go to the bathroom. Didn't have enough strength to do it, so his bed was a mess and there was a smell in the air. The other patients made fun of the old man. The nurses came to clean up his bed, and they weren't kind to him either. In fact, one of them even slapped him in the face. The old man just laid there and cried. That next night, about 2 o'clock, I started coughing again. I looked across the way, and again, I saw the old man trying to get out of bed. I really didn't want to do it, but somehow I managed to get up and walk across the aisle and help this old man stand up. He was too weak to walk, so I took him in my arms and carried him like a baby. He was so light that it wasn't that difficult. I took him into the bathroom, which was nothing more than a dirty hole in the floor, and I stood behind him and cradled him in my arms as he took care of himself. Then I carried him back to his bed and laid him down. As I turned to leave, he reached up, grabbed my face, pulled me close, and he kissed me on the cheek. Then he said what I think was, "Thank you." The next morning, there were patients around my bed when I awoke, and they asked if they could read some of the books and the tracts that I brought. Others had questions about the God I worshipped and his only begotten Son who came into the world to die for their sins. In the next few weeks, I gave out all the literature I had brought, and many of the doctors, nurses, and patients in that sanitarium came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I love that story, and sorry. I read through it enough times yesterday. I thought I could do it without crying today. But amazing story of just love. I've heard it said, they will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. All Doug Nichols did was show love to a man that he didn't even know. Love is what's most important, because without love, I'm nothing. God desires for us to be people who walk in his love. It doesn't matter how many scriptures you memorize. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have about who God is and what God is and what the Christian life is about if we don't back it up with his love, learning to love people and care for people in a way that changes lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word. And Lord, it's just a reminder, because it's so easy for us to go through life and just try to do the right things, Lord, to try to make sure we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's and living the good Christian life that you've called us to live. But Lord, it means nothing if we're not people who are learning to love like you love, Lord. If we're not loving those around us and reaching out to those that you put, Lord, in our circle of influence. Lord, I know for myself that so often I can get so caught up on the things that I'm doing that I fail to see what's going on around me, and I fail to show compassion and love to those that maybe need it most. And Lord, I know I want to change. I want to be someone who learns to walk in your love in every aspect, in every way. That, Lord, learns to love first, Lord. Because love is the greatest of all things. And Lord, I realize that the more I learn to love, the more opportunities are going to come for people's lives to be changed. Because it's your love that changes lives, Lord Jesus. It's not my religion. It's the love of Jesus that moves and turns hearts, as we see in this story of this amazing missionary, Lord, of just acting out in love, and how that simple act of love draws people to you, Lord Jesus. And so I pray that, Lord, you would help us to be people who learn just to walk in your love in everything that we do in our workplace, in our homes, Lord. Having a conversation this week with someone where oftentimes our home gets the worst of us. When it's those people in our homes, our spouses, our kids, they should get the best. We should love them better than anybody, Lord. Whether it's in our home, whether it's in our workplace, whether it's just throughout our community, wherever we go, Lord, help us to be people who learn to walk in your love, Lord. Letting your love shine through us. Having grace and mercy, Lord, towards others. Lord, we thank you for this word, and I just pray, Lord, each of us are at different areas and aspects in our walk with you. Some of us may not even be walking with you at this moment. I pray, Lord, if there are people that aren't, that you would just draw them to you, Lord, through your love, through your grace and mercy. But, Lord, wherever we're at on this journey of life, I pray that you would allow this word, Lord, to penetrate us and to challenge us and to speak to us, Lord. Show us, Lord, what changes are you wanting us to make as we walk into 2015? How do we do a better job this year, Lord, of loving others, of loving you, Lord? Because bottom line is, your word says that whatever we do for the least, we do for you. When we love others, Lord, we're loving you because that's what you've called us to do. So, Lord, allow these words to challenge us. Allow these words to encourage us in all that we do. We thank you and we praise you for these things. We lift them up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.